Good morning and welcome to each and every one. We do have several that are out sick and various things that are causing a lot of problems for members of the congregation now and people we love and friends and neighbors and all the things going around and difficult. We do appreciate your presence. We're grateful for your presence. And we're going to talk about a few things today that hopefully it will stir us all up, myself included, to do a better job in 2024. And the title of the lesson is, What Lies Ahead in 2024? And Donnie did a very good job of reading the scripture reading this morning and trying to remember all these things and the things we talked about, we're going to talk about, is hopefully going to stir us in the right direction as we start off this first Sunday in 2024. And as we think about, in the reading it talks about in Philippians 3, 12 through 15, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And some of us have a bad saying in the good old days when things were better, right? And I want you young people to hear something before I get started in this kind of a sidebar. You are the next generation and you're very important. And we can't lay all the failures of the generations before on you. And you stand up and you be accounted and you do the best you can in your life to make this world a better place to live. And as kind of the generations before, we tend to try to pick on the generations at its hand, and that's not true, that's not fair, and that shouldn't be there. So let us understand that as we go forward in 2024 and what lies ahead in 2024. And we need to understand that and to be able to do that, leaving behind and reaching forward. Our children need to hear that from us, that there is a better world out there, there can be a better world, and that things can be better if we, as individuals, make it that way. And how many times have you heard in the last few years, I don't know why anybody would have children in this world today. And children are certainly a blessing, and we always need to see them as such. Or we probably had the people think the same thing about us when we were their age, truth be known. All right. With forgetting that what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, 2024 is a time to reflect on what happened in the past and to think about that. Every January 1st, they always go, well, what happened in 2023, right? The most notable things that's happened in 2023 and all the things that the press and the other people put forward and make that out there. The things of the past have been for our learning that we might grow thereby and be better for it. We can learn from the mistakes of the past, and we've all made them, and try not to make the same mistakes again in 2024. Learning from the successes in the past and building on them. Spiritually speaking, there will be many opportunities for success, and some may be failures in 2024. We will have more successes than failures by concentrating on the following. Building with integrity. And integrity is that quality of being honest and having a strong moral principles and moral uprightness in 2024. One example of that is in Job 2 and verse 3. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth. A blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast to his integrity, although you, Satan, incited me against him to ruin him without cause. When he built with integrity, Job was a man that walked with integrity. Although attacked by Satan, he didn't lose his faith, and he walked by integrity. And over in Ruth 3:11, it says, Ruth 3:11, "Now, my daughter, do not fear." Boaz speaking to Ruth, "I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence, integrity." Ruth, as you remember, was a Moabitess. She wasn't even of the Jewish faith, but she became a proselyte Jew. She showed her integrity, and all the people saw it. Walking with integrity. Proverbs 10:9 says, "He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out." Walking in integrity is a quality that has to be sought after, because certainly you can go after the other. If not, you will be found out. If you don't think so, think about the neighbors around you and those that are dishonest and those that you really wouldn't trust to do anything. And it's not too many years till everybody knows about those people and the things that they do in life and how they do them. And the trust is not there. Proverbs 11:3 says, "Integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them." Integrity is a guide to do the right thing at the right time, even though it hurts and it might be painful. And that crookedness of the treacherous will always destroy them. It will come back. It'll make full circle. And it will affect them in their lives and what is happening in their lives and what's going on. So what lies ahead in 2024? To build with integrity. And it's said of David in Acts 13:22, "And after he had removed them, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he was testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will." Certainly, we know that King David was that kind of man after God's own heart. Although he made mistakes, he was known for following God. And we need to look for that also and understand that. So build with integrity, which will lead us to increase our faith. Strong says it is conviction of the truth of anything, belief, and a New Testament conviction of the belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. We all know that faith comes by the Word of God. We can see that in Romans 10:17, where it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And faith will start out by listening to the Word of God. And we want to make the change. We want to be that person of integrity. We want to make those changes in our lives when we truly listen to the Word of God. And again, like integrity, it is something that will have to be sought after. You will have to put forth effort. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling or dividing the word of truth." Some of the translations have. To be diligent requires one to exert themselves to be approved of God. The only time a person can be a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed is when we put forth effort. Have we all heard the old saying, a person that has to back up to get their paycheck? And all of us older ones especially know what that means, that somebody has not put forth any effort, have not exerted themselves to do the job that they needed to do. And the same thing is true with Christianity and being able to understand that. It's going to take effort. You're going to have to exert yourself a little bit to be able to succeed in that which you're doing. It's not going to come by osmosis, if you would. Accurately doing anything requires effort, study, and following God's word, and understanding that, and putting forth that effort. In Matthew 17 and 20, and it says, "And he said unto them, because of the bitterness or the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." How much faith do you have? How much faith do I have? How much faith are you going to have in 2024? What lies ahead? Where are you at? Where am I at? Finding faith sometimes can be a difficult task due to us not wanting to let God do the leading and us do the following. Roger Staubach many years ago made a quote, and he won some Super Bowls. And he said, "I never learned to be a leader until I learned to follow." And if somebody like that had to figure that out, we as Christians, where do we fall? Faith without putting it into action will do nothing. It's like the person with one talent, we take it out and we bury it, and it becomes nothing. It has to grow or it will die. That's your two options. It will grow or it will die. Over in Acts, the sixth chapter, speaking of faith and how important it is to have faith, how the people can see your faith, they can understand your faith. In verse 1 it says, "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And Philip and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these were brought before the apostles after praying and laying their hands on them. You see, a complaint came forward. It never happens anymore, right? And the apostles wanted to fix the problem. So their suggestion was, you look out among you 7 good men. 7 good men to put over in charge of this. And with a good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom. And Stephen is said to have been chosen, a man full of faith and Holy Spirit. So, in 2024, what lies ahead? Where is your faith? Is it the size of a grain of mustard seed? Is it does not exist at all? What are you going to do with it in 2024? Are you going to plant that seed? Is it going to grow? Are you going to improve as a person? Am I going to improve as a person? Is our faith going to do better? And over in Romans, the first chapter in verse 8, it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world." Paul was thankful for their faith. And at that time, it was being proclaimed throughout the whole world. What kind of people was there? What does it say about your faith? What do others say about you? What do others say about you in the workplace, in the neighborhood, in other places? And where will our faith be known? throughout Wellsburg, throughout the country, throughout the world, where will it stop? And over in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize that this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? If I had to ask for a show of hands, how many people like to take a test? Probably it's not going to be real high. But as Christians, we need to test our faith and use the Word of God to do that testing with. The Word of God is the subject matter that we need to use to do the testing, to study, to see where we're at, that mirror to look in, if you would. It is the only thing that we can examine ourselves with and be a true child of God. Why are we afraid to do that? Why are we afraid to let God examine us? And this is a test that we all need to make continually and to see that we're in the faith. So what lies ahead in 2024 for us? And what helps us? What will make us a better person, a better Christian to be around? But we'll build with integrity and increase your faith. This will require us to use personal discipline. Now, Ken touched a little bit about that this morning in a class about discipline. And it means to beat black and blue. Did you hear this? To smite or to cause bruises and livid spots, like a boxer, one buffets his body, handling it roughly, disciplined by hardships. I want you to think about that. Anybody that's ever watched boxing, anybody that's some of the better boxers in there is doing the sparring and things to build up to this contest for 12, 15 rounds, whatever. We don't see all the things that goes on behind the scenes. We see the fight. And we see the outcome of the fight, whether one loses, one does that. But afterwards, you see that his body is pretty well beaten up. And to be training for that and be ready for that, we need to understand that as we're ready for that. And think about that as we go through this. And personal discipline, and what you're willing to do, and all the things and you're willing to do. And they have to be on special diets. They have to do all these things, and they have to discipline their body and do the things that they have to. And that's that word right there, the Greek word. And it's actually only used two times in the New Testament. One here, which we're going to talk about in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, and then over in Luke 18, which we'll get to in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things, and they do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And we all run that race. It's called life. And we know that we want to receive the prize. And we need to run this life or live this life in such a way as to win. We need to exercise self-control. Boy, that's a dirty word, isn't it? Self-control. I can't always do the things I want to do and be pleasing to God. Self-control. We are competing for an imperishable prize. called heaven. Not as a boxer that is going to go out and go with a 12-round world championship fight and be beating at the air. They stand there and they take a beating for many more times than we ever see to be able to buffet their body and bring it to the point to where they can fight that fight. And that's the way we are as individuals and Christians. We need to be able, spiritually speaking, buffet our body. Things are going to come. We need to be ready for them, and it's going to be hard at times. I told Nathan the other day, I watched a championship fight a few weeks ago. This guy from Mexico was fighting a guy from the United States, and the guy from Mexico was winning. He was a challenger. And in the fifth round, the guy from the United States hit him with one punch and knocked him to the floor right before the bell rang. He got up and struggled for the next couple of rounds. You see, and in the 12th round, he knocked a champion down and won the fight. We as Christians don't always see that. We get that one punch and we go down. We don't rise back up because we're not ready for what lies ahead. And the announcer, I remember, kept saying, I think he's going to win this fight because he got the heart of a champion. What kind of heart do I have? What kind of heart do you have? As a champion, or as one that Satan has already taken hold of and not ready to stand the 12 rounds that we're going to have to stand? So that you don't lose your soul, which is a lot more important than anything else. Be ready for that endurance. Life is the same way. And we're all punched, we're all hit, we're all buffeted by Satan. He wants us to give up. He wants us to do our own thing. He wants us not to have self-control. And the same thing with personal discipline. Over in Luke 18, and verse 1 starting, it's going to talk about a widow woman that's going to a judge, is what it's talking about. Now, as he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because of this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. Discipline. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? As we can see, the judge did not fear God, but because of this woman just constantly wearing on him, the persistence of her, like the boxer in that boxing match going for 12 rounds, she wasn't going to quit. And because of that tenacity, if you would, she came back time and time again until he finally said, I got to get rid of this woman. And so he does, gives her protection, just to get rid of her. And we need to see that God will bring about justice for his followers who cry to him day and night. You know, God hears us when we have pain and suffering and things in our life are not where we want them to be. God hears that. And he is a just God, and he loves us, and he cares about us. And this will require us to have that discipline, to have a faith that is pleasing to him. Over in Proverbs 3 and 11, it says, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. The correction of the Lord is not always easy. Just like a correction of anything else is not easy. We need to learn from it and do better. And understand that. Proverbs 6 and 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproof for discipline or the way of life." God's law is a lamp. And David said, "It's a lamp unto my, a light unto my pathway." His teachings are light, and we go after them, and we'll see that. And there'll be corrections are in the way of life, and that means that you're going to be corrected, and you're going to have to see that there's a way that God wants you to go, and the way the world wants you to go, and there's going to always be that constant battle. So what lies ahead in 2024? With that, the increasing of our love is one thing that's going to have to happen. Strong, this word here, is agape love, and understanding agape love. Affection, goodwill, love, benevolence, brotherly love, where I want what's best for you and you want what's best for me. There are many other words in the Bible for other kinds of love, but this is the kind of love we're talking about here. In John 13, 35, it says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Men will see that there is something different about true Christians, because we love each other and we care about each other. And we want what's best for each other. Although we all have faults, we all make mistakes. But, and what lies ahead in 2024? Increasing our love. In John 15:10, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." His commandments and love go hand in hand. "I love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Love thy neighbor as thyself." Love, it's there. Jesus has shown us by his example all these things that he has done and expects us to do. And over in Romans 12:9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." Now, hypocrisy there means let love be genuine, not phony, not something fake. And to hate what is evil, you remember that's what's said about Job. He eschewed in the King James Version, or hated what was evil, and cling to good things. And this battle that goes on in this world, and increasing our love is very difficult because a lot of things get in the way. Some things we let get there, others come at us anyway. In Galatians 5 and 6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love." Faith and love, they go hand in hand, right? You can't have true faith without love. You understand that part. And that's the kind of love is where I want what's best for you, and you want what's best for me, and we're trying to get to heaven. In Galatians 5 and 22, we're going to talk a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit. Every time I think about this, I think about Ken and them singing this song. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The fruit of the Spirit, all the good things, right? Against these there is no law. There is no need for anything. Because we do all these things to each other and for each other, there would be no need for a law. And poor Ken would be out of a job. But we can't seem to get there, right? Because of the passions and desires of our flesh, and we needing to crucify them and cut them off is where the problem comes in. The battle may be difficult, but the reward is out of this world. The battle may be difficult, but the reward is out of this world. Ephesians 3 and 14, Ephesians 3 and 14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, agape love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Certainly, if we all spent more time on our knees, we'd be better off. And I think we all can say that. Let Christ dwell in your heart through faith and find it in there. And we need to be rooted and grounded in love. Without that, it's not going to work. And we have the proper type of love to be able to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge or understanding. We don't understand it because all we see is what's in this world and all the things that are there before the fruit of the Spirit that's listed in chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. We need to look for the good things and practice these things and get better at them so that our life is where it needs to be and understand that in this life, what lies ahead in 2024. Build with integrity, lead us to increase our faith, and understanding this will require personal discipline in our own lives that we don't want sometimes, and with that, the increasing of our love. With all that being said, and understanding that, what we have said, what lies ahead in 2024? If you're doing the things that we have discussed, if you're not doing the things which we have discussed, you still have time and opportunities to start that type of life. If you're not doing the things that we have discussed, you still have time because you're still breathing. If you're a Christian and are struggling with living this type of life, it will greatly affect your Christianity. Your conscience will eat at you while you're not doing the things that you know that you're supposed to be doing. That's the reason why God gave us a conscience, right? And it continues to eat at us like a cancer. If you want to be a better husband, you will need to practice these things. If you want to be a better wife, you will need to practice these things. If you want to be a better parent, you will need to practice these things. If you want to be a better employee, practice these things. Today is the first day of the rest of our lives, so don't put it off any longer. The beginning of 2024 is a good time to start down that path. Repenting of the things done wrong in the past and reaching ahead for the eternal resting place called heaven. So if you're with us, you got choices in life to make in 2024. The choice is yours. You can stay where you're at and be the same miserable, wretched person that you are, I'm sorry, and living your life the way you want to without God. Or you can make changes and everybody will see it in your life. And all these things will be better for you and for me. For you see, what if they sent a survey out to your neighbors and said, what's so-and-so like? This is a confidential survey. What do you think you would get back from your neighbors? The people you work with, even the people you go to church with. How about a husband or wife? And yes, us parents and grandparents. So we need to understand that. We see that in 2024. Options are there. The ability to make that choice is there. Don't leave it behind. Don't continue the way you are if you're one of those wretched, souls that's out there in the world are just miserable. Because Satan has you by the neck and he wants to choke you, the spiritual life right out of you. And if you're here and you're a Christian and you went back into the bigly elements of the world and you're struggling with sin in your life, I'm guaranteeing you it'll eat at you like a cancer. And it will continue to eat at you like a cancer until you fix it or you die. Leave those choices. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we afford you the opportunity to hear, believe, repent, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and rise to walk in newness of life that is not yours any longer, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And if you need prayers, we'll pray for you as we stand and sing number 344.